I pray for the sweet anointing of Abba, Father, on this message, that it might touch the hearts of his children. This is truly a beautiful, beautiful but heartrending message, a view into God the Father's heart and how he's feeling at this time. So this is Wednesday, the 20th of May, 2015, and this is about the Father's love. This morning, the Lord gave me such a beautiful insight into God the Father's heart about the souls that he has lost, that it just brought me to my knees in tears. Oh, it's so heartrending. It's difficult to describe. I just sat and cried because it's unbelievable what he suffers. Anyway, I believe all or most of us have suffered terribly at the hands of our children who do not understand our dedication to God. Some of us had marriages that were not brought together by God. Some of us married before we were Christians, and as a result were unequally yoked. When the Lord brought us into his kingdom, the dynamics in the family changed. And they've even discovered genetically that there's certain portions of the brain that are more disposed to God. And if the Lord brings you together with a really godly man and you're a godly woman, then I would imagine that those parts of your anatomy are fairly well matched and suited. And there's a pretty good chance your offspring are going to be just like you. But when you're brought into a marriage or you step into a marriage or a relationship where there's not an equal yoke of spiritual mindedness, you can anticipate all kinds of grief in the future. So that's what I'm going to share with you here. As a result of those kinds of marriages, our children are divided on the faith as they observe one of the parents in disagreement with the other. And to make matters worse, the whole world is on the side of the ones who are not really interested in God. There's just tremendous opposition that we face in raising our children when we are in a marriage where we're not equally yoked. This was a situation for me. I did not marry according to God's will. I married according to the flesh and had four children. I've got one that is holy and one that's an atheist and one that's too busy for God. And one that really doesn't care one way or the other. So, it's an interesting mix. So I get some solace from the one that loves God, but the other ones really don't understand me and they think I'm nuts. As many people who listen to our channel also think I'm nuts. And to them I would say, I am a fool for Jesus. Who are you a fool for? I don't mind being a fool or crazy, as long as I'm right with God. So, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Okay, as this insight was given to me this morning by the Lord Jesus into his Father's heart, I realized the Lord has been doing such a skillful job of laying the groundwork for us to be able to see how terribly wounded and hurting he and Abba are about the outcome of the lives of these children they give birth to and send into the world to live out their own lives. Because the message previous to this one was about the situation in Ramadi, where the beheadings are going on, of Christians and of Muslims, not of the same sect as these Muslims. Oh, it's such a tragic situation, so tragic. And just checking the news on it, both Ezekiel and I just turned to absolute jello in reading about what's been going on. We could hardly walk. It was so terrifying and so sad. I see God our Father looking towards the horizon, tears running down his cheeks for the children he's lost to the world. Day after day, he looks for some sign of their return, but they only get deeper and deeper into the world. At Christmas, he looks for some life, some kind of birthday card, but nothing. It's stone cold. Father's Day, nothing, not even a prayer, just dead silence, as the life of the child cleaves more and more to the world's way of celebrating holidays. I know what it feels like, and I think all of you as parents who have children who are in the world and not the least bit interested in God, I know you know what it feels like. Some of my own children are just like this, not a sign of love or a desire to have a relationship. I raised them to be godly, and I made mistakes, like all of us do, even some really bad mistakes, which I beat myself for every time I think of them, until finally the Lord has come to me and told me, it's not you that's the problem. They're in love with the world and the way the world does things. And for that reason, they are alienated from you. But I keep praying and hoping and waiting for their return. I try not to connect with that profound well of grief in my heart for these four children. I try to avoid it at all costs and just let it go. But I can't totally get rid of it. It's a deep wound that will never heal until my children come back to God and are grateful that I taught them the most important thing they needed to know in life. And that was the thing that no one else would teach them how to do, to pray, to trust God, to love Him, and live a pure, godly life. And in that profound grief, I understand how the Father feels. He's tenderly endowed and gifted each of us for our own journey in life. We're coming from His very own substance, and He dotes over us, just like any other parent would. He finds profound joy gazing upon our precious little faces and watching us giggle and play joyfully while we discover the world He created for us. His hopes are so high for His children, but ultimately the time comes when He has to let go and let them fly to the destinations of their own choosing. Still, not for one moment does He take His watchful eyes off of them. Not for one moment is He distracted away from the complete awareness of them in every circumstance they get themselves into. No, He's there when they make those deadly choices. He's there when they ignore their conscience and get into bed with someone who's bound to break their hearts. He's there when they overdose on drugs and hang between life and death. He's there when they wait and choose the mate that He's prepared for them, and He celebrates with them at the births of their babies, with their hard-won accomplishments. He shares in even the tiniest details of their lives, bumps and bruises, the pains of old age, smiles exchanged during a walk in the woods, beautiful autumn leaves fluttering down in the wind that they take joy in, and spring flowers pressing up from the forest floor. From the littlest to the greatest events, He's with us, dreaming His dreams for us, hoping His hopes for us, arranging details to help us choose the right thing. I imagine that if it were possible, He even holds His breath when we're about to make a decision. But of course, He already knows where that decision will take us. So to bring this around to full circle, here we are watching the slaughter of men, women, and children, some guilty, some innocent, some dying as martyrs for Christ, some dying having never known Christ and going to eternal perdition, where Father God, Abba, will never see them happy and thriving again. Oh, how terrible for Him. It's as if we had lost a child who we knew we would never see again, here or in the afterlife. The sweet, innocent memories of His childhood linger in photo albums and memories. But that one is no more. He's lost forever in eternal suffering. This is the tragedy we're witnessing in Abba's grieving heart right now. The utter tragedy. Just like Rachel mourned for her children, for they were no more. yet even Rachel had the hope of seeing them again in the life hereafter. So although it may go against the grain of your humanity to pray for the jihadists who have been raised with only one reality, and these victims of senseless brutality, Father God Abba needs prayers for them and their family. He needs prayers so he can turn the tides and convert these thoroughly indoctrinated souls before they're lost forever. Oh, let us have pity and pray for them. It goes against the grain to pray for our enemies and those who are so brutal and senseless murdering and just so brutal. It goes against the grain of our flesh, but we have to pray for them because these are souls that God has created, and he grieves deeply over what they're doing and how they'll be lost for eternity. And just in closing, I want to remind you of a couple scriptures. It is written, "You should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. And if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. So love your enemies, do good to them, then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." The Lord bless you all, family, and let's remember to lift them all up in prayer.